you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And we want to jump right into this, but before we do, I do want to give a special announcement. We are recording part 5 of The Truth Behind Hip Hop this coming September 18th. It will be a Friday night at 7 o'clock, and it will be at Cornerstone Baptist Church. We've had a change of venue, a last minute change. So make sure you make note of that. We will be shooting the video, but it will be at Cornerstone Baptist Church Friday, September the 18th. So make sure you get there early. There'll be limited seating, but make sure you get there early. Doors will open at 6:15. And then also we got something very special planned as well. Our books will be available that day. The book, The Truth Behind Hip Hop. It's a book I've been working on some 9 years, I guess it's been. It's just been a long journey, but I wanted to make sure that I had all the information God wanted me to have in it. And I wanted to make sure that I was, you know, prepared to release a book. You know, sometimes people want to just release a book because it's good to write books, but I didn't want to be one of those. I wanted to make sure the book was thorough and complete. And the research, I had done the evolution of the research as God began to reveal things year after year. I wanted to make sure the book was complete and whole the way it should be. So we have finished the book. The book will be released, and we will be having a release during the part 5 service. So after the service, you'll be able to pick that book up. We're going to have limited copies, but we will have them available after the service. So make sure you are there September 18th at Cornerstone Baptist Church for The Truth Behind Hip Hop Part 5. And I'm telling you, a lot of information is going to be given. It's going to be a wonderful service. It's probably going to be the best DVD we've done. It's just so much that there is to say about hip hop, and the church is continuing to try to embrace it. So we've got a lot to talk about. So make sure you come September the 18th to hear The Truth Behind Hip Hop Part 5 and be a part of that live DVD recording, and also get your copy of The Truth Behind Hip Hop book that night. Anyway, let's jump into the message that we have for you today and what God is really trying to get out of us with self-denial. If you understand the way a person is made, you understand that we have a body, you understand that we have a soul, which is our mind, and then we have spirit, which is the human spirit. And our spirit is how we communicate with God. We communicate from our human spirit with his Holy Spirit. Or if you're demonic and devilish and Satanist, then you communicate with Satan, and you do witchcraft and black magic through your human spirit. And the human spirit is not something that we tap into, but it's something that God taps into. So you got to be careful with your human spirit. You know, this is why we're very careful with the movies that we watch and things that we read, the literature and the places that we go. You have to be careful because your human spirit can be tapped into by other means or by other entities other than God. God has reserved that as your ability to communicate with him. It's like, you know, your ability to speak in the spirit realm, to feel, to understand what is going on spiritually. You use your human spirit, but you unite your human spirit with God's spirit, and his spirit speaks through your spirit. So this is very important for us to understand. This is why we shun, you know, Harry Potter and witchcraft and magic and all these different things, because we don't want to try to use our human spirit or tap into it, because it will bring demonic manifestations into our lives. So we have to be careful. But when you understand the three-part being that we are, you understand why self-denial is so important. And the reason why is because of the flesh element. There is a flesh part of the three parts of us, and that is the temple that we live in, or the housing around our soul and spirit. It is our flesh. And so we understand that our flesh is here, but our flesh adheres to the things of the world. Our flesh is our carnal nature. We're born into sin. Why? Because Adam sinned in the beginning. So we have to understand that there comes a time in all of our lives when our flesh desires to do that which is contrary to what the Word of God is doing. And if our flesh is not denied, if we have not practiced denying ourselves, if we have not brought our flesh under subjection, then our flesh will become our ruler or our guide, and it will desire to lift us up or to make us self-aware, as I spoke of last week, and cause us to follow after our flesh. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. And I know we like to preach, I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to condemn. And, you know, even with EX Ministries, you know, a lot of people say, your words, you're just a condemner, and your words are condemning, because we preach, you know, straightforward truth. Well, it's not that the words are condemning people. It's people's flesh that's condemning them. Let me explain. The scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So there is condemnation if you're walking after the flesh. So if I preach an anti-flesh message and you're walking after the flesh, you're gonna feel condemned. Those that hear this broadcast and the broadcast challenges them and makes them feel bad, it's because you're walking after your flesh. So when I preach anti-flesh, your flesh don't want to hear it because you're walking after the flesh. But if you walk after the spirit, there is no condemnation. And we thank God for that, because that is what Jesus came to die for. He didn't come to condemn us, but our flesh can cause us to be condemned because it makes us walk contrary to what the Lord is saying. So we have to be careful and understand that our flesh cannot be lifted up. We cannot seek glory for our flesh. We cannot try to be seen and known. We can't set out on a path to be famous and for people to know us and who we are. No, we as believers, we have to deny ourselves. Now, understand what I'm saying. Of course, God lifts certain men up and men get popular. Look at the men in the Bible. It's the most popular book of all times. All of these men were lifted up by God, but they did not lift themselves up. There is not one account of any prophet or any speaker or messenger or anyone that God chose that actually lifted themselves up in the flesh. This is not a characteristic that God looked for. And the reason being is because God does not want to choose somebody that needs to be chosen. Please hear what I just said. God does not desire to choose anyone that needs to be chosen. God chooses men that are secure. That is a key word here, because a man that is secure will preach the gospel, will not taint it with his own desires or his own agenda. He won't taint it so that it can point to him and not to God. He won't mess with it, but he will just preach it the way it is written. This is why we have these preachers that they can read the same scripture you read, but they read it with so much flair and finesse until it's almost like you don't even want to read it anymore. You just want to hear them read it. You know, when you read a scripture like Proverbs 16 and 18, you say, you know, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. You know, you read that and, oh, I take it to heart. But they know how to read it and say, pride goeth before destruction. And you're like, whoa, hey, I don't need to read the Bible no more. You read it, Pastor C and say. And so you get to the point to where you get entertained by their ability to read the word, and they make the word of God their own. And when they do that, it makes people uncomfortable with their own ability to read. And so people begin to depend on them, and people put them in a high place place in their own lives. They put these preachers in high places. You go sit in their cars, you sitting and crushing CDs and tapes in the seat, and you're like, can you move this big old crate of tapes? Oh, they're my pastor tapes, they're my preacher tapes. And I just, that's a, and I'm like, you got every tape he done preached since he was 12 years old in here. 8 tracks and laser disc and everything. And you see, but people have placed their preachers, and please don't get me wrong, it's nothing wrong with listening to tapes and CDs and different things, but you can't worship or become the fans of these preachers. You can't lift these preachers up to a place to where you have feelings for them and you desire to hear them rather than hearing God. You desire to read what they write rather than reading the scripture. You desire to hear the way they read the Bible rather than the way the word speaks to you. And this is a sad state that people get in, but people are here right now. People are lifted up. And the Bible does say pride goeth before destruction. The Bible also says a man's pride shall bring him low. Understand, when these men lift themselves up, you can just turn the hourglass over, because it's only a matter of time before that same pride will bring them low. Let's read a story real quick about this, and you can get a better understanding of what it is I'm trying to say with this, because we have to make sure that we are not lifted up in self. We have to make sure we're not lifted up in pride. We're not drawing fans to us. We're not drawing people to us. You know, I mean, I went on a Facebook the other day looking at some pictures, and I don't have a Facebook page, but I had my daughter pull it up, and I looked at some MySpace pages, and it's just a shame that preachers are putting themselves on these pages. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you having a Facebook or whatever, but you know, you got to remember that the whole point of you being a preacher is that you be faceless. It's not about you, it's about God. But you go to some of these pages, there's like 500 pictures of them, all kinds of poses and just primping and just all pretty and glossy and shiny. And then they got the a fan page where you can be the fan of a preacher. Now, what day are we in when preachers lift themselves up to the point to where they can make fans out of people? I thought it was about being fans of Jesus Christ. I thought he was the only star here. I thought he was the superstar and the real stars of Christ. If you are a true star for Jesus, then you understand that stars can't be seen when the sun is shining. You go outside right now while the sun is up, you won't see one single star shining. That's because the true star, the true son of God, is the only one that should be shining. So why are we on page with fans and folks just lifting us up, and we lifting ourselves up with all these sexy pictures and different things? Y'all, it is just getting out of hand. But I guarantee you, you go to a page and see a brother like that, turn the hourglass over, because it's only a matter of time where a man's pride will always bring him low. If Lucifer himself could not escape it, and he was the chief musician in heaven, and he could not escape his own pride, then we know that pride comes before a fall, and a fall is always imminent when a man lifts himself up as great. Let's read this scripture. Let's go to Luke 18 and 18, and we're going to read the story of the rich young ruler. It's a very important story here. The scripture tells us a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why are you calling me good? None is good save one, that is God." This is very key to understanding this story, because this ruler was trying to be funny with Jesus. He was like, "Good master." Now, it was customary for the Jews at the time to call the rabbis master, because they were teachers, and that's what the word meant. They would say master or teacher interchangeably, but they would never say good when they were referring to a man, because good was always reserved when you were describing God. So when he said good master, he was really taunting Jesus, as if, you know, you say you're God, but I don't really believe you're God. And so Jesus was like, "Why are you calling me good? There is none good other than God. So are you calling me God?" It's like Jesus was really checking him. And the ruler said to him, What can I do to inherit eternal life? And after Jesus checked him on the God thing, he said, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and honor thy father and mother. Now, I like this because Jesus purposely left off one of them in the second table of the law. He left off thou shalt not covet, because he knew already that this man was covetous. And so he didn't even bring it up. Jesus just did something very smart. He just said, hey, you lack one thing. He said, why don't you take everything you have and distribute it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. You can come and follow me. So Jesus was challenging him on the issue that he had. The issue that he had was he was covetous. He was coveting his reputation. He was coveting his money. He thought he was something. He was a rich young ruler. So his money made him who he was. So Jesus was saying, once you drop who you think you are, let me make you who you ought to be. And the rich young ruler turned around very sorrowfully and ran away. And this is probably one of the only accounts of a man that came to Jesus and left as bad as he was when he first came to him. And this is sad, but he was right in the face of God, in the face of the master, and could not deny his own pride. He was lifted up in pride, and his pride set in opposition of what Jesus Christ wanted to do in his life. This is very important, because you have to understand he missed the greatest blessing that he could have received right then. See, Jesus went on to tell the disciples after he left, he said, man, it's hard for a rich man to enter in, because a rich man is lifted up in pride. You know, J.D. Rockefeller used to always say that money is a gift from the heavens above. He always looked at his riches as money from heaven. Now, we know he's Luciferian, so he must be talking about when Lucifer was in heaven, but he always lifted himself up with his money, believing that it made him something. Well, we have to understand that when the pride of life strikes us and we desire to be lifted up and be seen and known, we are standing in opposition of what it is that Jesus wants to do. Jesus said after that, he said, hey, I would have given this man 100-fold. He would have received 100 times what he gave up if he had just gotten rid of that covetousness. And that's how it is with most of us. There is something in between us and God, something blocking us from getting the true blessing of God. Now, understand, when you lift yourself up in the flesh, when you lift yourself up in pride, don't you understand that you have to get things on your own? God is not blessing the proud-hearted person. The person that is proud and that is trying to use it to be seen and known, God is not giving it to those people. Understand, people that he blessed in the Bible, the prophets, the preachers that he brought to preach his word. These were men that said, hey, God, I really don't want to do this, you know. And God is like, you know, that's why I need you to do it, because you don't want to do it. God wasn't calling folks, understand people. He wasn't calling folks that was looking to be called. He wasn't calling folks that needed affirmation through a call, that needed validation through a call. God needs us complete in this life. We got to be fixed, y'all. Here is our problem. We have these problems, which I talked about last week. Some of us were neglected. Some of us were mistreated. Some of us were abused sexually. Some of us were abused mentally, spiritually. Whatever the issue is, we've gone through these things, and we've grown up with these issues, and we've never dealt with these issues. It puts us in a place where we can't truly be used of God, because God does not want us using him. Now, I know that sounds funny. God definitely wants us to use his spirit, his power, his word, and those things, but he doesn't want us to use him to be lifted up in the flesh. This is why homosexuality, and I'm going to say it, if I got to say it every week, I don't care who get mad. This is why homosexuality is so dangerous. It's more dangerous than most other sins, because a person that is homosexual does not carry the image of God. So when they read the word, when they pray, they can't get validation from God, or validation for the image that they carry, because God shuns that image, and that is the image that is anti-God or anti-creation. What this does, this causes the man who is homosexual to have to seek after affirmation. And then when he's up in the pulpit, he's going to use the pulpit for affirmation. And God does not lift up insecure men, because insecure men will use God. They'll use the platform. They'll use the pulpit. They'll use the position that they have. This is why men, they've been preaching for 5 weeks and they want to be a bishop, and they go make themselves a bishop. They get the series cereal box and pull the license off the side, the UPC code, and put that in their wallet. Here's my preaching license. They on there downloading license off phonydiploma.com, and you go in their office, been pastoring and preaching for 5 weeks, and now they apostle this and bishop that. It's because they need those titles for affirmation. They're trying to get affirmed so they can lift themselves up above their issues that they struggle with. Now, here is the saddest part about this story with the rich young ruler. And the saddest part is that when he came before Jesus, he was so lifted up in pride until he couldn't be helped by Jesus. Now, Jesus can help anybody if you want him to, but he was so lifted up and concerned with himself. He was so self-aware. This is very important. Please hear me, people. He was so self-aware until when help came, he couldn't even hear the answer to the question that he had asked. He said, "How can I get eternal life?" Jesus told him how he could get it, and he didn't even want it. It was like it ended right then, because I'm not giving up myself for this. It's like, I thought you came to me asking me how to get eternal life. Why are you walking away sad? Why didn't you just accept it? Well, he was so lifted up in pride until he couldn't be helped. He couldn't even get help for himself. Now, this is the problem, y'all, with the church right now. We have these men who are in leadership, these men who struggle with homosexuality and low self-worth, or these men that struggle with insecurity. And because of that, they can stand up and preach mighty messages. Listen to what I'm saying. They can stand up and preach messages, but the messages never get in them. Pride can stand in the very face of Jesus and you not be healed, you not be delivered or changed. Just like this rich man, he stood right in the face of Jesus, and because of his pride, couldn't even be changed. That's just like Lucifer. Lucifer in heaven making the music for the Holy of Holies. I mean, he was the musician in heaven, and he's up there with an agenda. Why? Because of pride. How do you have an agenda standing before the Most High God? Preachers that are lifted up in pride or self-awareness can preach the gospel and many times deliver great messages, but the messages don't even penetrate their own heart. They preach the truth and not even apply it. It can cause a man to save souls, thousands of souls, and lose his own. This is why pride is so dangerous. This is why Jesus said, to come to me, you gotta first get rid of yourself. You gotta first get rid of pride. You can't stand before the people of God and point down at them and look down at them. And you know, you got your hair slicked back and your teeth capped and you got all the fancy stuff and you're standing up spiritually abusing people because you are insecure in the natural realm, because you lack security. And this is again why the homosexual agenda is so dangerous for the church, because when preachers and pastors and leaders give themselves over to homosexuality, the whole ministry becomes about them. The whole ministry becomes about the way they look, the way they sound, the way they walk and carry themselves, everything. You know, they got the preacher look, the preacher talk, the preacher walk. And don't you know that the world is making fun of this? The comedians are joking about this. This is a big joke to them. The sad part is we're supposed to be reaching the world. It's our responsibility to help the world see who Jesus is. We're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We can't be the joke of the world and the light of the world at the same time. But this is all coming from insecurity and men lifted up in pride, men with 20 armor bearers and walking with, you know, men just surrounding them and swarming, little sissy men like bees just walking around them and you can't get to them. And then they get in the pulpit and men just feeding them. Then everything. I mean, you can't get around them. And this is just pride, y'all. Men lifting themselves up in the flesh. Understand something, people. This is hurting our church worse than anything. We are being lifted up and thinking that we are something. And don't you understand that pride, when a man gets prideful, he'll even approach God proudly? Did you not understand that? And the Bible says we should be able to come boldly before the throne. That means that we shouldn't be afraid to come to God, but we don't don't approach God thinking that we are something. Remember, you can just look right up to Luke 18 and 14 and see the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. There the Pharisee was saying, I'm great, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, standing before God, bragging on himself so that the tax collector could feel bad about being low. And Jesus said, the tax collector is the one that's got pardoned, and the Pharisee is the one that's going to get abased. Why? Because he that exalts himself will be abased, but he that humble himself, according to the scripture, will be exalted. So understand, people of God, we have to drop this pride thing. We have to drop this, I need to be seen and heard. Somebody see me. We got to drop this flesh worship, somebody look at me mentality. Because while we're saying, hey, look at me, y'all, check me out, the world is dying because nobody's paying attention to them. The focus is on the preacher and not on the souls that need to be saved. The focus is on the building and not on the community around the building. The focus is on the wrong thing, people. We have to stop being lifted up in ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. The scripture tells us, if any man come after me, he must first deny himself, because pride is the opposite of self-denial. People of God, please hear this message. I hope this message has been a blessing, but this will help you. I get a lot of emails, folks saying, how do I look for a good church? And how do I look for a good preacher and a good pastor? Well, sometimes you just need to do some research. And if you see a man lifting himself up and showing himself all the time, and you know the characteristics, and it's all about him and not about the work of God going forth, then you already have a flag right there. You know that if he's lifted up in pride, he will not deny himself. And if he won't deny his own flesh, then he's going to indulge in the pleasures of the flesh. So people of God, please hear this message and take it to heart. Let me pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray right now, believing that you gave this word for this week. God, I believe, Lord, that this is important for us to understand as our churches move into these eras where men are lifting themselves up in the flesh and men are showing themselves. And as you spoke of in your word about Lucifer, pomp, being pompous, God, and just prideful. Father, as men lift themselves up, we understand that this is not of you. But in order to have you, we must deny ourselves, God. We can't seek positions and we can't seek titles and we can't seek these things. And even though men may bestow these things on us for doing the work, Father God, we know your greater blessing is in us humbling ourselves and denying ourselves. So God, anyone listening to me with a problem with self-denial, Father, I pray right now that you will lead them into a fast, God, so that their flesh can take down. God, you will lead them, Father, into a place where the man of God there is not standing up pompous and lifting himself up, but Father, you will help them to get to the place where they can deny their flesh. Once we push our flesh and our agenda aside, that's when we hear what you have for us. That's when you reveal the deep things of the word for us. That's when you show us, Father God, how to sustain ourselves, and you show us the job that we need and the money, how to get the finances, and you give us the power to get wealth. But all these things come from self-denial and us accepting your agenda. So Father, we want to be those. Lord, we don't want to be purpose-driven, but we want to be Christ-driven. We want to be humbled, God, and we want to be in position to be raised up only by you, that you would exalt us when you want to, if you see fit. And we do not exalt ourselves, but we humble ourselves before you so we can do your work effectively and the world can be changed by you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.
How powerful is music? Music can make you do something you hadn't intended on doing.
EX Ministries presents The Truth Behind Hip Hop, Part 5.
Why you gonna be a gospel gangster? The Bible say if any
Friday, September 18th at Cornerstone Baptist Church, 5415 Matlock Road, Arlington, Texas. Service starts at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:15. Admission is free. For information or special seating, call area code 214-793-3120 or visit us on the web at exministries.com.
Look at somebody say case closed.